everybody on the Monticello party line. We start a new series of events on the line today, but I thought you might like to hear just a little of what Marilyn Owens had to say this morning to Wilhelmina Witherspoon, Aunt Willie as we call her, when she learned about last night's event. Aunt Willie has just told her that Jack, Marilyn's husband, confessed that he had made up the story about being responsible for the hit-and-run death of an old man in Chicago. And Marilyn is saying...
But to tell me that he was the driver of that car, why, that's almost as bad as if it were true.
He wanted that money pretty bad, and he thought he had to scare you to get it. Wanted to invest it in a gold mine.
That sounds just like Jack, investing in a gold mine.
Said he was going to give you half of everything he'd make.
Yes, I know. He would say that. He always did.
I'm glad I met him. I kind of like that boy.
No one can help liking Jack.
Yesterday morning, you told me you were free of the old illusion of being in love with your no-good husband, once and for all.
Yes. I felt, when I was listening to him yesterday, talking about that accident and that poor old man, that I could never again be touched by anything Jack could say to me. I could look at him for the first time without that funny little feeling in my heart, as if it were going to stop beating.
I suppose you still feel that way?
Aunt Willie.
Well?
Do you think love can die so completely and suddenly and then come back to life again?
Well, I don't know. I've been wondering myself. If the time should come when Jack Owens might make a man of himself and show up here again like a new person?
No, Aunt Willie. Jack won't ever do that. He'll always be just Jack.
Well, we'll see.
Marilyn, of course, doesn't know that Aunt Willie gave Jack the $1,000 that he had tried to get by lying. Nor does she know that Jack told Wilhelmina last night that he wished that he could take her advice and start life on a new basis. The future will reveal what use Jack Owens will make of the money and the opportunity to make something of himself. But the present day in Monticello is our concern right now. And first, I want to read one of the interesting letters that you party liners send to us. Here is a letter from a lady in Illinois. She says, "My father lives with us, and although he and my husband used to get along just fine, lately my father's been continually out of sorts and awfully hard to get along with. I've been suspecting lately that perhaps father's grumpiness was due to a condition of sluggishness. And the other day, a friend suggested that I give him Dr. Caldwell's medicine, syrup pepsin. Well, now, father was always against medicine, but when he tasted syrup pepsin, he liked it so well that now he gladly takes it whenever he needs it. I'm glad to say that syrup pepsin has definitely helped him and has helped to make our house a better place to live in." Party liners, letters like these say more than I ever possibly could about the goodness of Dr. Caldwell's syrup pepsin. It's a good, sensible medicine for your family. Won't you try it? Ask your druggist for SYRUP, syrup, PEPSIN, pepsin. Syrup pepsin today. Last night's excitement left its mark on our good friends Sarah and Aggie and Clem and Curly. It calls for a good deal of talking over, and talked over it has been, well and thoroughly. Sarah and Curly have spent the following evening at Clem and Aggie's house reviewing yesterday's events, and now, while the boys are busy with a game of checkers in the dining room, the girls are busy with their crocheting in the cozy kitchen. Just as the tea kettle comes to a boil, Aggie folds up her fancy work.
Well, that's that.
Oh, let's see, Aggie, how the new crochet yarn come out.
Very nice, I'd say, Sarah. See, we can hardly tell the difference.
Well, no, I should say not. Allowing for the handling when Clem matched it for you in Decatur, why, I'd say the old cotton was just as much like the new as it's humanly possible to match crochet cotton.
For a while, I nearly give up. And then I said to myself, if at first you don't succeed, try again.
That's always been a fine motto. My, I just hope Marilyn's husband follows it out.
Dear me, don't let's get started talking about him again.
I can't help thinking about him. Going off like that into the world, all by himself, to face a new future ahead.
You know, I bet you could make up a lovely poem about that, Sarah.
Well, I'd have to give it a happy ending, or I just can't stand it.
Oh, that's your privilege. It'd be your poem.
Oh, now, Aggie, let me help you with that coffee there, Mike.
Well, if you really feel like you want to, Sarah.
I've been sitting long enough. Won't hurt me to move around a little.
Bye. I suppose he's far away from any nice homey kitchen tonight.
Who, Aggie?
And Marilyn's husband.
Oh, no doubt.
You know, I guess we're lucky at that, you and me.
How do you mean, Aggie?
Just a second till I finish this grind.
Oh, sure.
There. I guess that'll make 6 good cups, anyway. I said, we're lucky, Sarah, not having married a loafer, I suppose you'd call that man of Marilyn's.
Why, of course, we're lucky.
I don't know. Hearing about a man like Marilyn's that goes and leaves her and her little girl that way. We're mighty lucky to have 2 good providers like Clem and Curly.
Well, I should think so, Mike.
It's a real lesson for me, I guess, to hear about somebody that's as bad a husband as Mr. Jack Owens.
Why, Aggie, just as if you didn't appreciate Clem.
Oh, I do. Of course I do, but... Well, sometimes, you know how a person gets to thinking if a person's husband had been a big success in the world.
Just living a happy life from day to day is a big success in itself.
Oh, of course it is, Sarah. I know that. But, well, once in a while, a person gets to thinking about some of the people that have gone out and had real big success.
In a money way, you mean?
Yes, I suppose you could call it that. Like Squinty McGovern now.
Squinty McGovern?
You remember him, Sarah.
Oh, sure. He used to be in the grade below us in school.
Yes.
Yes.
Back in those days, it used to bother me how he'd never, ever come to school with clean fingernails.
He always looked to me like he didn't see a good tub of soap and water from the beginning of one year to the end of the other.
I know.
I never saw anyone look so, well... Come to think of it, we hardly did know what he looked like under that layer of grime.
Until he'd come out shining like a polished red apple for the Christmas party exercises.
Yes. My.
Well, I was going to say, nobody thought he'd ever get to amount to anything.
Well, no, not in those days.
And now there he is with a hardware shop in the city, big as life.
And a summer home in the country.
Yes.
And his girl and boy both going to college at the same time.
That takes money.
Real money.
But then he ain't the only one. Look at Al Bushweiler. I guess there wasn't a person in the world would have given him a chance in a million to mount anything in a salesman line with that lisp of his.
And there he is off in New York selling railroad cars for goodness knows how much.
And goodness knows where him and his family haven't been. Why, from coast to coast back again.
My.
And to think that Squinty and Al started out right along with Clem and Curly. All just boys together.
And now look. All separated to the 4 winds.
Yes. Wendy McGovern up there to the city, big as life, with a huge, tremendous hardware store. Little Al Bushweiler selling railroad cars out to New York, making money hand over fist. Oh, hey, Sarah, cut the cake a little more liberal, my goodness.
You'll have us all getting fat, Aggie.
You know how the boys will be. They'll be awful hungry after playing checkers all evening.
Here we sit in Monticello, getting fat on your good angel food cake, whilst I suppose... Wendy's wife and the girl Al Calhoun married are flying around in limousines or subway streetcars or whatever.
And they started out right down here, too. In a real modest way, too. My, I wonder how they got used to their riches.
I suppose that comes right with success. Getting used to it is sort of acrimonious to it, I guess.
Yes, I suppose it is.
Mama, I think what you mean is synonymous.
Oh, my goodness, Curly. Well, I thought you was in the dining room playing checkers with Clem.
Well, I was, but we'd just been sitting quiet and smoking after the last game, listening to you girls talking.
Oh, forevermore, Curly.
Well, you won't learn much that way.
No.
Well, you come out just about in time for coffee. Where's Clem?
Well, he's putting away the checkers.
That's something new for him.
What, Curly? You ought to be in there to help him.
Well, I offered, Mama, but Clem says no, he don't like anybody to meddle with him except himself. Always knows where he's got his checkers, then.
I should say, right square in the middle of the dining room table, generally, for folks to fall over. Let's see now, do we need anything else?
Sugar, cream, yes. Spoons, and cake. I guess it's all there, Aggie.
Yes, all except Clem.
Oh, that's so, Curly, all except Clem. Clem!
I heard you, Aggie. Took Curly to even notice I wasn't around, however.
It sure did. Drop a chair now, you two, and we'll have coffee in a minute.
Thank you, Agatha. My, this is a welcome surprise, ain't it, Clem?
Curly, you really ought to wash your hands first.
What, just after one game of checkers? Oh, I don't believe that's necessary, Mama. Here, now you sit down right next to me.
I better to keep an eye on you and the angel food cake.
Oh, my, Sarah. Well, I guess a little coffee is going to taste real good. My goodness, Clem, ain't you going to sit down pretty soon?
Oh, I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know as I care for any cake or coffee.
You don't care for any coffee?
Why, Clem, forevermore.
Oh, shucks, he's just joking.
Are you, Clem?
I don't feel in no mood for joking.
Well, now, we're sure not going to sit here and eat if you won't have something, Clem.
I should say not. That beautiful cake, too.
Clem, don't you feel good?
I feel okay. You folks just go ahead and have a good time.
Clem, all that lovely buttercream frosting, just look how thick it is. Made especially for your benefit.
Yes.
I doubt it. What have I done to earn buttercream frosting?
What?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Oh, now, Clem, you just sit down and try a teeny little piece of cake.
And just a drop of coffee.
Well, you folks won't be satisfied any other way.
Why, of course we won't. Now, that's much better.
Yes.
Here, pass me Clem's plate, Curly.
Oh, yes, Mama, yes.
Clem, you kind of got me worried. What's the matter?
Well, nothing. Nothing at all.
Curly.
Huh?
Don't tell me you went and won the checker game.
Who, me? Oh, why, Mama. You know Clem is too smart for me at checkers.
Well, I wonder.
Oh, Clem's a terrible whiz at checkers, Mama. A real terror, that's what he is.
A whiz at checkers. Well, that'd look real noble on my tombstone, won't it? Here lies Clement G. Tuttle, a whiz at checkers.
Oh, Clem, you don't feel good. Wherever does it hurt, Clem?
Tomorrow, we will discover where Clem's hurt is, in the intangible but very real region of his pride. Little does Aggie realize what's going on inside of Clem's usually cheerful head. Tomorrow, an important meeting at Curly's Machine Shop. Now, party liners, here's a treat for you. John Wintergreen, our party line druggist, is here to talk with you. Are you all ready, Mr. Wintergreen?
All set, Ken. You know, friend, here in my drugstore in Monticello, I have dozens of laxatives in stock. Now, some of them are quality products, and others, well, I guess people buy them because they're cheap. It always amazes me when an otherwise intelligent person buys a harsh or unknown medicine just because it's cheap. What does a few cents mean when health is involved? Well, I therefore urge all of you party liners to beware of cheap laxatives. Why take chances with anything less than the best when Dr. Caldwell's syrup pepsin combined with laxative senna compound costs so little? I heartily recommend syrup pepsin as an ideal family laxative. And I believe your own druggist will recommend it, too.
Thank you, Mr. Wintergreen. Party liners, remember that good advice. Ask your own druggist for Dr. Caldwell's syrup pepsin today. Tomorrow, we're going to hear the first beginnings of a great project to be launched by Clem on the Monticello Party Line. Don't forget, see you tomorrow on the line.